Turn your Bibles this evening to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, a very familiar psalm, a psalm of encouragement. I trust that you've read it throughout your years and got lots of spiritual nourishment from it. And I trust the same will happen for you tonight as well. Psalm 27, really a psalm of David going through a lot of heartache, a lot of a trial. Not a wonder, not something that we are surprised about in David's life, something he was very well acquainted with and knew how to go through those trials with the Lord. And so I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. Do you really want revival in your life? Do you really want to see God's power in your life? I think every one of us here today and in God's family, as we heard this morning, we have a desire to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so tonight we're going to read through the Psalm, Psalm 27, and get three specific truths tonight from this psalm. Psalm 27, verse 1, we'll read the whole chapter starting the beginning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to just go into this text this evening, and Lord, to get some encouragement, Lord, that we need on a daily basis, Lord. And I pray if there's someone here this evening who needs that encouragement, who needs that, Lord, that desire, Lord, to follow you and to keep himself or herself committed fully to you, I pray that you would encourage them tonight. Lord, that you have work to do in their lives, and Lord, you want to use them for your cause. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you here this evening are what I call people watchers? How many of you like to be people watchers? I see one here. We got some people watchers here. We got Adam up here. We got several here looking. I like to watch people. Yeah. By that, some of you, we think on the same wavelength here, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, what are you talking about, people watching here? The idea is this, okay? Maybe you're at the mall, or maybe you're in a grocery store. Maybe you're in a parking lot. You're waiting for someone to come out, like I did in high school. In high school, my mother would love to go shopping after school sometimes, and she went to that dreaded store that every young man hates. Now, some of you think of all different stores. But the store that we hated was Joanne Fabrics, okay? It's a wicked store, right? So she would go in, and she'd say, okay, boys, you have a choice. You can either stay out here in the temperature. I'm not leaving the van on for you. Either you come on in, and you can come to the AC and just suffer in there, or you can suffer out in the van in 105, 110 degrees temperature. That's fine if you want to do that. We chose the van. That's how much we hate it. And while we were in the van, we would look and we would watch people. I remember this all through high school. We did this really on a weekly basis. We'd watch people getting sodas and we'd be thirsty and think, oh, I wish we had that. We'd watch people getting in arguments, or we'd watch, car accidents. Different things happen throughout the years. And there's memories just watching people. Now, you think about that. You think about those times when you watch people. Sometimes you watch people and you see them. That's kind of, you see something that's kind of creepy, or you say, that's just, that person's being crazy. But sometimes you watch people and you look at them and you say, hey, that's an encouragement as you watch from afar. You know, I've looked at certain folks. One of the favorite groups that my wife and I like to watch while we're in a restaurant or other places is older couples, okay, that are married. Okay, of course, we assume they're married. Don't always do that. We've made that mistake before and got into a couple and said, you guys are so cute together, you know. How many years have you been married? Actually, we're not married. So we walked away. But, you know, we've looked at different couples and we've seen, hey, we want our marriage, our relationship to be like that. Look at how sweet they are over the years. And I think of several couples in our church. I sat down with a man about a year ago and asked him, hey, what's the secret to your marriage? I've been watching you and the way you treat your wife, and I want to get some advice. I want to grow as a young preacher. And he was in our church, and he was just telling me some different things that he did and how he grew. And I said, I want a relationship like that. That's what I want. I've entitled the message tonight, I want a relationship like that. I want a relationship like that. Now, it's important to have a good relationship with family. It's important to have a good relationship with friends. But it's extremely important, okay, to have a relationship that's God-honoring, Christ-honoring with the Lord Jesus Christ. How is your relationship this evening with the Lord? How is your spiritual walk? Are you walking in the light as we heard this morning? Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is your relationship, is it shallow? Is it something that is, it can grow quite a bit? Other things have gotten in your way. You know, this evening, I want to just give you three different choices that you can make in your life to have a better relationship, a sweeter relationship with the Lord. And here's the three different choices. I'm going to just go through this passage tonight. We're going to look at this. But the first relationship that we see, the first choice that we see is a strong confidence in the Lord. It's the first choice that David made here. The idea for confidence is the idea of a feeling of safety and security. That ability to say, I know that I'm safe. No matter the circumstances that are around me, no matter the pressures that are coming in and caving in on me, I have a confidence, I have a security in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where David's at in this passage of Scripture. He says, I have a confidence in the Lord. In fact, in this passage of Scripture here, it's very likely that he's being chased by King Saul. Now, David knew he had been promised. He knew what was promised. He'd been promised a kingdom. But he didn't know when that was going to happen. He didn't know what was going to happen before that, and he was at a point in his life where he had the unknown in front of him. He had some things that he knew, but then he also had some things that he didn't know. And so he had to trust in the Lord during this time. If you look at this passage of Scripture, if you go down to verse 13, you see in this passage that at this point in his life, David almost gave up on God. He almost quit. He almost threw in the towel. He almost said, I'm done with God's will for my life. I can't take it anymore. Verse 13, he says these words. I had fainted. Now, I want you to see these words here were not in the original, they're not original Hebrew. I had fainted. These are to give us the meaning of the text, and they do definitely give us the meaning of the text. But these words here, I had fainted, have the idea he would have fallen away. He would have quit. Again, he would have thrown in the towel. I had fainted. Why? How? I would have fainted unless one thing, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Understand, at this point in David's life, there wasn't a lot of goodness to see, you know, humanly speaking. There wasn't a lot of blessings coming his way. There wasn't a lot of joy that he could have outwardly, as the world would say, because of materialistic things coming or financial things going well for him. There wasn't many things going well for him at this time. But he looked back and he said, I saw the goodness of the Lord. I dwelt. I remembered on the goodness of the Lord and what he had done for me in the past, what he has promised for me in the future, and what he is to me in the present, right now. And this is what this psalm is all about. It's about a man who had a deep relationship with the Lord, even during the trials of his life. We see here that David is dealing with the fear of the unknown. David's dealing with the fear of the unknown. He's also, in this passage, dwelling on the faith of that which is known. I want you to get that here. He's dwelling with the fear of the unknown, like we do in our life. But in this passage, he makes a decision to have confidence in God and to dwell in faith on that which he already knows about his God. Don't miss out this evening. If you don't, there's some things in your life you don't know about that are coming up. There are. There are some things, some pathways that maybe you're nervous about, some problems that may come and may arise and get you maybe having anxiety in your life. Understand that you need to look at the things you do know about your God. You know, look at those things you already know about your God. Know the truths that you've looked at the scripture before time and time again, and look at those and bring those to remembrance and meditate upon those and say, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I know what my God is like. I know who my God is, and I know that he will never fail me. He will never forsake me. He will never leave me destitute and lonely. And David here takes that truth. I want you to see from the scriptures here as we look at this. In verse number 2, David goes and looks at his past first of all. Verse number 2, he says a wonderful truth here that I want you to understand. He says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Okay, so he has a picture here in his poetry. He says, my enemies are coming upon me to eat up my flesh. Okay, he's not talking about cannibalism necessarily here. He's talking about the enemies of God destroying him, and then animals like a pack of wolves or a pack of lions coming and eating up his flesh. But I was meditating on this passage of scripture, I thought, this is David's past he's talking about here. He's talking about that. I wonder if he's looking back and he had a flashback as he wrote this. I wonder if he had a flashback to his time with Goliath. You remember the story? Yeah, 1 Samuel 17, when Goliath, he stood across the plain there, the valley on one side, and Israel was on the other. And he says, hey, somebody fight me, you know, bring it on. And David, as a young shepherd boy, said, hey, you know, is there not a cause? You know, isn't there a cause that we should go out and fight this man? And, you know, his brother Eliab, his oldest brother, who was, you know, was jealous of him and was angry at him to say, you know, said, hey, I know the naughtiness of thy heart. I know the pride of thy heart. You know, you just want to be in the battle. You just want to be everyone to see you. And David says, no, what have I now done? I have a heart for God. I want to see God's name vindicated. I want to see justice here in this situation. So David goes out. And when David goes out, Goliath looks at him and says, you know, you're going to send me this little guy? Yeah, I'm going to take this guy, and the fowls, remember, the fowls of the air are going to eat the flesh off of his carcass. Remember that? They're going to eat the flesh off his carcass. You know what David says there? David says, no, actually, that's not going to happen there. He says, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts. You see the strong confidence there? Wasn't just in Psalm 27, not just when he was with Saul, but it was a committed, strong confidence in the Lord. He said, you come with me in a sword, with a sword, spear, and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and the birds of the sky will not flee to my flesh, but on yours. Here's what he's saying. They're not going to feed on mine. Okay, they're not going to feed on my flesh. They're going to feed on your flesh. I have a God who's greater than you. I have a God who's bigger than you, and I have confidence in him. You know, David did not know, okay, in this psalm, he did not know when Saul would show up next, when he slept. He didn't know when other enemies would fight against him. He didn't know when his men would desert him. You know, David didn't know how much longer he could go on like this. These are things he didn't know in his life, unknown things. You know, he says in the next verse here, we find a little bit more, he talks about his future in verse number 3 as we look at the text of Psalm 27. He says, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. So he says, I see, first of all, if there's an army that comes out and they camp right by me, I'm not going to be afraid. Hey, if they rise up and prepare for battle against me, even going to the second stage and in the future, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to worry about that in my life. So he's not worried about the past. He's not worried about the future. Why is that? Because David knew his God. David knew his God. In verse number 1, he says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. He is my strength. He's my source of everything I have in life. Everything that is good comes from him. And he's the one that will give me deliverance. He will be the one that directs me. He'll be the one that defends me in my life. And that's the same truth for each one of us here this evening. We have a God who delights in directing us. He delights in delivering us. He delights in continually defending us in our walk with the Lord. We have a world that doesn't like Christianity. In fact, we heard a little bit about it this morning. This world doesn't like Christianity. In fact, more and more, there's more things that are against God in this world. That doesn't change the fact that God is still in control. It doesn't change the fact that our confidence in God should not waver. It should not shake for a moment. For God cannot be beaten. We are on the winning side tonight. A confidence in God that is strong and that is sure. And David said, you know what? That's why I have a good relationship with the Lord. I've got a strong confidence in the Lord. The Lord was his light in the darkest of nights on the hillsides, in the caves, and during all the difficult times. The Lord was his light, guiding him along the way. He knew that God would direct him. He knew that God would deliver him. And he knew that God would defend him. Now, as we see light, we see three aspects of our God here. We see, as David says, my Lord is my light, we see God is our director. He's our director. He calls the shot. He tells us where to go. He's the one that's going to help us. He's the one to say, hey, this is what you need to do in your life. As we come to the Lord, as we pray to him, he's going to direct us and show us where we need to go. Every one of you here know these truths from the Word of God. In fact, our junior high Bible class is memorized, has these verses memorized like the back of their hand right now. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He's our director. He will direct us. Salvation here has the idea of God is my deliverer. He's not only going to direct us, he will deliver us. Specifically, David was thinking, he'll deliver me from mine enemies, as we see this passage. He'll deliver me from those that rise up against me and try to tear my flesh apart. God will be there for me. Now, if you're here this evening, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is also your deliverer to be saved from the penalty of hell. If you're here this evening and you're a teenager or an adult and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can have confidence tonight that Jesus Christ is the one who paid the price for your sins over 2,000 years ago and died on the cross that you might have eternal life. He says later on, God is the strength of my life. He says, God is my defender. Now, David was a great warrior. I mean, he was a great soldier. We know about David. He was an incredible man. We know he was a man of war from the Bible. And so he wasn't just, he was a man's man, but he said, you know what? Without God, in this phrase here, I've got no strength. I'm feeble. I'm weak. I need to fully rely on God. You know why we see that in David's life at this time specifically? Because he had to. He's at a point in his life where he's running from Saul, and he's going through a hard time. He realizes, you know what? I need God. I'm depending on God. That's the way it is in our Christian life a lot of times. We go through life, we're coasting, and everything's going great. As soon as something wrong comes up, oh no, God, I need you. You're my provider. You know, you'll take care of me. You're my protector. David here understood this truth, but it was something that as you look at the passages of David's life, it was a continual and committed thing that he was going to have a reliance, a confidence reliance on the Lord. The Lord is his strength. He says this phrase here in verse number 1, whom shall I be afraid? Rhetorical question. He knows the answer. There's nobody. There's nobody. Remember verse number 13? He said, I would have given in. I would have quit. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have just said, hey, everything is done. I fainted. I would have fainted unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But I know God's good. I know from my past. I know it in the future that God is good from his promises of who he is. And I believe he's going to continue to be good in my life in the present. You know, faith in that which is known will always overcome fear of that which is unknown. I want you to get that tonight. It's an important truth. Faith in that which is known will always overcome fear of that which is unknown. Hey, the things we know about God, the faith in those things will always overcome the fear of the unknown in our life. The antidote for fear in man is always faith in God. 1 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. What is your confidence in this evening? You want to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. You want to see a relationship with the Lord grow. Your confidence can't be in your paycheck, what you have. Your confidence can't be in your person, who you are. Your confidence can't be in your performance, what you can do. Your confidence can't be in your peers, your friends, or your family members. Your confidence must be in God alone. That's the difference between somebody who is experiencing the filling of the Spirit, the revival in their hearts of Jesus overflowing in their life. Somebody who says, I'm fully dependent on God in my life. In the good times, in the times when everything seems all right, I'm fully dependent on God just as much as the times when I'm hurting and I'm struggling. God wants us to have a strong confidence in him. You know what? He made that choice. David made that specific choice to say, I'm going to have a strong confidence in the Lord. I want you to see, second of all, this evening, David also had a singular craving for the Lord. He had a singular craving just for the Lord. My wife has had five children. Her and I have had five children together. And so we've had five children together, five all the way down to 3 months now. And so five and under is quite an adventure, especially when going to the grocery store. And we have lots of stories and lots of fun memories already in our life, as I'm sure many of you young kids as well, and you that have had young kids as well, can remember those times. But one of the things about pregnancy you hear about as men, you don't get to really experience, is cravings. And pregnancy cravings, to be specific. And so, when we first had our first child, my wife just kind of, little cravings, not much at all. But our last child, McKenna, my wife had a craving, a specific craving, and I would call it a singular craving. It was the one thing that she wanted all the time. And she loved, and some of you will say amen here, some of you say, she loved Freddy's fries. She loved them. So she just couldn't get enough of it. They had to have the special seasoning on it, or it wasn't worth it to her. So she had to put the seasoning on it, and she loved, Brother Joseph, not me, those are too dinky, it's too small. No, they had to have Freddy's fries and enjoy those. And so she loved them. She absolutely loved the fries, and she had a great time eating those. But one of those things that I realized in life is afterwards I told her, I said, but you liked those fries before. And she said, yeah, I did. I liked them before. And so it was something that she said she had a craving for, but she ended up afterwards still liking them as well, and still something that she loves. And those are her favorite fries to this day. That's singular craving in her life for fries. But what David was saying here is found in verse number 4. He said, I have a singular craving for the Lord. Well, I should say this phrase. He said, one thing have I desired. He said, there's one specific thing that I've desired. Now, don't you want to know what that is? I mean, you read that passage here, if you just stop, he says, there's one thing that I've desired. Well, let's see what he says in verse number 4. We read this. Of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He says, you know what my desire is? My desire, first of all, is to spend time. It's to know the Lord. It's to spend time with God, to deepen my relationship with him. You know, I've entitled the message, that's the kind of relationship I want. You know, David's desire, one thing, was that he would build his relationship with the Lord. That his time with the Lord would get sweeter as the days went on. His time with the Lord, as he fellowshiped with God, they'd get longer. The times that he spent worshiping the Lord in the tabernacle, that he would see the Lord in a clearer picture each time he spent time before God. You see here, first of all, he says, I want to look at the Lord. I have a desire to look at the Lord. He says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. He desires to see the Lord. And none of us here today can actually physically look at the Lord Jesus Christ. It'd be nice to be able to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and to see his face someday. As songwriters have written, we'll be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be able to see him face to face. It'd be an amazing thing. We have an opportunity to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the nails that were put in his hands, for the whip that was put across his back for us, for the brutal beating that he took for us. And we'll be able to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. But today we don't see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. But as we open the pages of God's Word, we have an opportunity to have more intimate conversations with the Lord Jesus Christ as we know him on a deeper level. And David said, I just want to know the Lord. I desire to see him each and every day of my life. As I open the Word of God, I don't want to go away from any time worshiping the Lord and go away and think, what was I doing there? I want to be able to focus on the Lord all the days of my life. I want to have a committed craving for the Lord. You know, as a young man looks down the aisle at his bride-to-be coming down, there is a tense desire in that young man's eyes, looking on that bride, looking at her, the love of his life, that gaze. There's no one more beautiful to that man. There's no one more wonderful. There's no one more sweet or kind as he looks down the aisle than that young lady. And that's the way it should be. Here David said, I want that kind of gaze in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I spend time with him, no one is lovelier in me than the Lord. Nobody is sweeter than me to me than the Lord. Hey, nobody cares about me more than the Lord, and I just wanted to gaze upon him. I wanted to drink it all in and let my relationship with the Lord flourish. David says, I want to look at the Lord, but he also said, I want to lean on the Lord in this passage. He says, I want to also to inquire in his temple. I wanted to, the idea for inquiring means to seek or to consider, to investigate. He said, I want to spend time getting to know the Lord and learning from his teaching. There's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. There's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit as we read the Word of God and convicts us of our sin and our righteousness and our judgment. We're going to have a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. David's whole goal in life was to know the Lord. Then he says a few things here. He gives some illustrations in this passage of Scripture about his after he shares his craving. He says, you know what? I have a singular craving for the Lord, and here's some things I want to do and with the Lord, and here's some things I know about the Lord. First of all, the Lord will hide me in his pavilion. Now, think of a pavilion today, you think more of a building, a pavilion. But the word here, the Hebrew word, means a thicket. Maybe you've gone outside in the back of your yard and you've taken a bunch of branches down and you put them all together in the back of your yard and maybe for a bonfire later on, and they just sat there. Maybe you looked out, if you live out in the country, you look out there, and maybe you saw a little rabbit run into that thicket there, all those branches together for safety. That's the picture that David's given. He says, it's a pavilion. God is my, he's my thicket. I can run to him whenever I want to, and I can hide away from any kind of danger that comes. In my relationship, I can spend time with him there. He says, in the secret of his tabernacle, I can go to the most holy of holies. I can spend time with the Lord. And we know at this point that only the high priest could go in and could spend time just in the holy of the holies. But he said, that's how I want my relationship to be. I just want to have it such an intimate time with the Lord. And then he says here in verse number 5, he said, he shall set me up upon a rock. Now, this is a wonderful picture here for David, because David knows about enemies chasing him. He knows about having to play hide and seek with those that are going after him. So he says, my God will set me upon a rock. And the word for rock here isn't just a boulder, as you may be thinking in your mind, but it's an actual cliff. It's an actual cliff that he could be up high and look down on his enemies and almost laugh at them and say, ha ha, you can't get me, because God is taking care of me. There's nothing you can do. Doesn't matter how big your army is. Doesn't matter how many soldiers you have. Doesn't matter how many folks attack me or how many weapons you have. My God has me on him. He's my rock. I'm looking over you, and you can't dare what you want to do, but you cannot destroy me. It's a wonderful picture of the defense of God. He says in verse number 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above. That's the idea of the cliff. Above mine enemies round about me. Then he says, here's my response, Lord, as a deeper relationship. Therefore, while I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He said, I will spend time with the Lord. My singular craving in life is that I would know the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would have a deeper relationship with my God, that I would know him more than anybody else in my life. I trust in your life tonight that that's your desire, that you would truly desire the Lord Jesus Christ number one in your life. And nothing between you and the Lord today, but the Lord Jesus Christ would be the sole desire of your life. Now, I've wondered several times why David was called the apple of God's eye, why David was called the man after God's own heart. It's right here, because his singular passion, when he did fall away, he came back to his passion. He said, God, you're my number one thirst. How many of us, if we're honest in our life, can say, Lord, you're truly my singular craving? You truly are the most important thing to me. And when I get up in the morning, Lord, the day is about you. Lord, when I get up and I'm at work and I'm doing the things that I need to do to provide for my family, Lord, everything in my mind is about you. I truly want to live life fully and completely in your will. I want to walk in the Spirit each day, each minute, each hour, and see you work in my life. It's really hard to do. That's why we need to continually be in the Word of God, refreshing our hearts and our minds to understand that this is something that God wants us to do. He wants us to deepen our relationship. A famous writer, A.W. Tozer, said this: how tragic is it in this day and age that we have had our seeking done for us by our teachers. How tragic it is that the normal believer today will just listen and say, okay, here's what the teacher says, here's what the preacher says, and say, hey, that was great, and then go home and do nothing about it for their own relationship with the Lord. That's not how God intended it in our lives. As we finish this evening, I want you to see the final point is a sweet communion with the Lord. The final choice that he made in his life is say, yeah, I made a choice to have a strong confidence in the Lord, to have a singular craving for the Lord. But I also made a choice to have a sweet communion with the Lord. Verse number 7, we see David's prayer, a little change. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. You can almost hear the desperation in David's voice. Lord, I need you. Hey, don't leave me. You see in verse number 9, he says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He says, don't leave me, Lord. I need you. There's a desperation in his life saying, God, there's nothing more important than being with you and being right with you. I want you to see here, first of all, you see a special invitation in verse number 8. He says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Do you know that the Lord is saying to each one of us each day, seek my face? As you get up in the morning, as you have an opportunity to go throughout your day, the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we don't hear it because we've grown callous, we've grown colder. But the Lord wants fellowship with us every single day as a believer. And he's saying, seek my face. There's an invitation. David said, Lord, when you say that to me, I say, yes, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. Oh, that we as individuals would do that on a daily basis. When the Holy Spirit convicts us and says, hey, seek my face. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time following my will for your life. Go out soul winning. Go out and tell your friends about me. Go out and do the things that I've called you to do. Have the right spirit. Have the right attitude. It'd be a wonderful thing if we say, Lord, yeah, I'll seek your face. I'll do exactly what you want me to do. I want to seek what you have for my life. It's been said by several great men of the past that the average Christian doesn't get to really have that sweet communion with the Lord because it's interrupted before they get to that time. And I'll just tell you from my own life, there's been many times where I have read the Word of God and I have read it quickly. I just read it quickly and I put it away. You want any sweet communion in my life? Times when I've spent maybe a good chunk of time, a very long time in the Bible and left, but still didn't have a sweet communion with the Lord, didn't have great fellowship with the Lord. You know why? Because we didn't have the same desperation that David had. Lord, please, I've got to hear you speak to me. Speak to me in a special way. Lord, I want my relationship with you to grow. Not the person next to me, not the family member maybe that I'm praying for, not the person that maybe that I am burdened for and I love that needs to be saved, but Lord, would you continue to grow me right now at this time that my relationship with you would be deepened. I want that kind of relationship with you. We see that special invitation there. Also, special invitation. I saw a man in town about a year ago and went into his house with one of the men in our church, and he had an invitation that was framed. It was an invitation from the president, and he was so excited about that invitation. In fact, he made a point of it kind of to kind of direct us to that invitation, and then he said, oh, let me tell you about this. And so we sat down and we talked with him a little while about that invitation. But he was so excited to tell us about the invitation. So I never went to it, but I have it framed here because it was a special thing. Well, I understand that. It's a very special invitation. Well, let me just share with you, there's no greater invitation that you get each day with the Lord Jesus Christ to meet with him face to face. It's a personal one-on-one time, so intimate that you get to hear a personal conversation from God to you. So I want you to see also the special conversation, verse number 10, is a special conversation. David says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I love this verse. Absolutely love it because it's something that anybody who has looked at the past, who struggled maybe with not having a father or a mother or struggled in the past with just not feeling loved at times can understand that the Lord Jesus Christ will take you up. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who will protect you, will care for you, will provide for you. And in this passage of Scripture, we see that's a special conversation for each person that is hurting and needs help. Now, this evening, as we finish in a moment here, I want you to see each one of us wants a relationship like this. I mean, each one of us, as you read the text of Scripture tonight, as I went over this and you looked at it, you say, hey, Pastor Nate, we want that kind of relationship. Or maybe you say tonight, hey, Pastor Nate, I do have that kind of relationship right now. It's deep. God's growing me. He's doing some great things in my life. Praise the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. But I just want to share with you, if you say, hey, Pastor Nathan, I'm struggling. I don't have a deep relationship with the Lord right now. I've let other things take the place of God in the last week, last month, and I need to truly have that relationship that's God-honoring to the Lord. I want to deepen it. I want the kind of relationship that David had. What's some things I can do? First of all, personal preparation. Personal preparation. God is working on us to grow us, and we must do our part as well. We must make a decision to take time in the Word of God and say, Lord, I'm going to make a specific decision to spend a certain amount of time in God's Word. Now, if we were to have a sign above your head tonight, I've often imagined this, how this would be in my own life, but a sign above your head that automatically we could all see how much time you spent with the Lord today. How many of us would kind of shrink down? How many of us would try to cover that sign above our head? You know, you spent 0 minutes, you spent 5 minutes, oh, I love the Lord. The idea is this, is David, he spent good time, spent quality time. And it was something that was obvious in his life. People didn't wonder and say, oh, did he spend time with the Lord? People knew it around David. You see his life and they understood that this man, he walked with God, he loved the Lord. It ought to be evident in each one of our lives that we have that heart for the Lord. We spend time with him. We ought to prepare spending time with the Lord. Personal preparation. Also, ought to be some perspiration that we put in. There's going to be some work, okay? Not just preparation, but there's going to be work. And by that, I mean there'll be some times when it gets really hard. It gets really busy in our schedule. That's when you have to really work to put it into your schedule, because it's going to get busy, and the devil's going to throw all different things at each one of us here, even this week. Throw things that we don't spend time in God's Word. You say, Pastor, this is pretty simple. You know, I'm such and such age. I've heard this since I was five. Well, the truth is we can hear it since we're five and still struggle with it. Because even great men of God, as we've seen this passage of Scripture, like David, struggle with it. And so you want to make that decision to say, hey, this week I'm gonna take the work, the perspiration, and I make a decision to practically put God first this week. You need to make sure there's divine dedication. Don't quit. When life doesn't seem to make sense, trust the Lord. Number four, continual conversation. Don't stop talking to God. Your devotions aren't just in the morning, okay? You spend time and have devotions and spend time in God's Word. Your time with God is throughout the whole day. Your time with God is from the time you wake up, from the time that you fall asleep in your pillow at night. It's throughout the whole day, spending that time, fellowship with the Lord, and talking with Him. Continual conversation with the Lord. Now, I want a relationship with God that desires Him above anything else in my life. I want a relationship with God that's on fire. I want a relationship with God that daily inquires what God would have me to do. I want a relationship that perspires after the Lord and works hard to follow God's will for my life. I trust that that's your desire as well. That's the kind of relationship you want. Maybe you have that relationship. Maybe you've been in your life and you say, I used to have that. I used to really seek after God. I used to really desire God, but not so much as of late. I just challenge you. Hey, understand, you need to have a strong confidence in God. You need to have a singular craving for God in your life. And you need to have a sweet communion with God. Those are three choices that each one of us have to make on a daily basis in our lives. Not something just that we do for a week and say, hey, I'm done, I made that choice. It's a daily decision. Not something we just come down an aisle on a Sunday night and say, well, I'm going to do that. This is my decision. No, it's something that we make a decision on a daily basis to get up. I'm going to make sure that I have a right relationship with the Lord, and that it is a continually growing, deepened relationship. Now, as we finish this chapter, I want you to see the last verse here. There'd be an encouragement as we finish tonight. The psalmist said this, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Remember, David's still in a waiting place right here. Doesn't know what's going to happen. He has to trust his faith over fear. He has to trust in the known, which he knows about God, to that which is unknown, those things that are not sure in his life at this time. And he says, you know what? I have to understand to wait on the Lord and trust him during this time. You know, time spent waiting on God is never wasted time. Time spent waiting on God and saying, God, I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to believe in you. That's never wasted time. That's time when God wants to grow you. It should be a time of great spiritual growth in your life. You know, we ought to say this evening, with the psalmist here, hey, I want that kind of relationship with God. We ought to say, I want that relationship to get nearer and dearer every single day of my life. What kind of relationship do you have this evening with the Lord? Is it deep? Or is it shallow Christianity at this time because you've been so busy with other things in life that really don't matter. Where's your confidence? Is it in the Lord? Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Where's your craving? Is your craving your one thing you desire? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, have you been cutting your time short with the Lord? So you're not having that sweet communion you used to have? Hey, you ought to say this evening, hey, that's the kind of relationship I want. That's the kind of relationship I want. And some of you here today, you may say, hey, Pastor Nate, that's the kind of relationship I have. Praise the Lord. I want to continue to grow in our life and walk with God and understand that if we are going to serve the Lord, if we're going to trust Him with our life, we're going to have to work at deepening our relationship with Him. There's too many surface-level Christians in this world today. There's too many folks that will know a verse or can throw a scripture verse out there, and that's all they do. God wants you to know the Word of God. He wants you to dig in the Word of God. He wants you to memorize it. He wants you to meditate on it. He wants you to live the Word of God and let it overflow through you and allow people to see Jesus Christ in you. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes dedicated time. It takes commitment, saying, I want that kind of relationship, not just for this week, not just for a day. I want it for a lifetime. Hey, is that the kind of relationship you want? If so, do you have it tonight? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God, especially this psalm, and share this challenge from your Word. Lord, I do pray that you continue to grow me, Lord. You know there's areas that, Lord, I want to grow in, Lord. And there's areas that, Lord, I know you want to stretch me in, Father. And I pray that as those times come, that I would trust in that which I know with that which is unknown. Father, I do pray for each one of the folks here this evening, Lord, that may be struggling with things in their life or feel like they don't have that same passion for God they used to have in the past. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them tonight. Well, they would trust you, Lord, and they'd understand that you have a purpose, Father, for their life, and you desire for them to have a deeper relationship with you. As Pastor comes at this time, he'll lead the invitation.